بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. This evening, this is our session number 41, reading from Fath al-Qawi al-Mateen في شرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين, the explanation of 50 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawwi and Al-Imam ibn Rajab رحمهم الله, in the commentary of our Shaykh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr Hafidhullah. Tonight, the hadith that we're going to be looking at is hadith number 36 from the 40 hadith of Al-Imam Nawawi. But before doing so, we're going to look at some of the issues that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 40. So the first question being, summarize the main topic or subject of hadith number 35. The main topic or subject of hadith number 35. Naam. Talib.
The Prophet ﷺ had informed us of the manners that the Muslims should have with one another for the sake of Allah, and that we should help each other. All areas of this life
will pass. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's instruction to us on the manners that should be observed, the things that we should avoid in dealing with one another, the things that Allah has prohibited, the characteristics or qualities that are evil in dealing with any one another in our worldly lives and in every aspect of our life. Anybody else add anything to that? Naam, fadl.
The importance of brotherhood and the actions that negate true brotherhood.
The importance of brotherhood and the actions that negate true brotherhood. Question number two. Who is the rawi, narrator of this hadith, and the muhaddith in whose collection this hadith is found? The rawi and the muhaddith. Naam.
Abu Hurairah
radiallahu anhu is the rawi. And the hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. Question number three, mention the five evil actions which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited Muslims from in the beginning of this hadith. The first five things that he mentioned in the beginning of this hadith. Any one of them, or two, or three, or four. Naam, Talib.
La tahasadu.
Okay, envy, do not envy one another. And do not inflate prices upon one another. And don't have hatred and hatred for one another. Naam. Tadabaru. And don't turn your backs to one another. La yabi. La yabi. Naam. And you don't undercut one another in transactions, in buying and selling. These are five of the 12 things that are mentioned in this hadith. These things the Prophet ﷺ prohibited us outright from engaging in them, and obviously for the reason of their negative effect on the desired brotherhood that is established, that should be established by Islam. Question number four, does hasad, envy, only occur in worldly affairs, and does it only include hating the blessing which Allah has given someone else? Does it only include occur in worldly affairs? Now,
it occurs in worldly affairs and it occurs in affairs of the akhirah.
There's envy in worldly affairs, any of the things that people possess or that they have, and as well in the religious affairs. Now, and does it only include hating the blessing which Allah has given to someone, or does it include other than that? Anyone? Fadl.
Also includes not wanting them to have the blessing, whether you get it or not.
It also includes not wanting that person to have the blessing, yani desiring that it be removed from them, that it be taken away from them, even if you desire that it be given to you in their place or not. Naam. Question number five, the Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. This is a quote from the hadith. Therefore he does not, 1, 2, 3, 4. Mention four things the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith. Muslim, al-Muslimu, akul Muslim. Naam.
He does not oppress him. He does not humiliate him, nor does he hold him in contempt. He does not lie to him, and he does not abandon him.
Okay, he does not oppress him, he does not abandon him, he does not lie to him, and he does not hold him in contempt, doesn't look down upon another Muslim. Now, question number 6, give a response to someone committing an open sin, and when advised about it, points to his chest saying, "Attaqwa hahuna," yani taqwa is here, as meaning, like, don't address me about the sin that I'm committing openly, taqwa is really in the heart. Now, what is the response the Shaykh gave for this? Fadl.
If it was in the heart, then it would show on the actions, the hadith.
Yeah. Now, that if taqwa is in a person's heart, it will show. It will appear, it will be manifest, it will be seen in the actions, in the outward actions. It would affect their outward actions, and the proof of this is question number 7, mentioned in evidence from the Sunnah which directly supports this point. The proof of this is what? Now,
in the body there is a piece of flesh. If it is sound, then the whole body is sound, and it is the heart.
Now, in the body there is a mudra, a piece of flesh. If it is sound, if it is whole, wholesome, then the whole body will be sound. And if it is corrupted, if it is polluted, if it is evil, then the rest of the body will be like it, and that piece of flesh is the heart. And it affects the rest of the body. It affects the human being's action and behavior and their total condition. The heart. Question number 8. The whole of a Muslim is haram to another Muslim, including his, and he mentioned 3 things. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu al-Muslim ala Muslim haram." 3 things.
His blood.
His wealth. And his honor. And the last question mentioned 5 of the 10 fawaid benefits which the author has derived from this hadith. Let's just mention some of them as much as we can now.
The prohibition of envy.
And those other things that are mentioned with it. Now.
The prohibition of anything else that will cause hatred and enmity and animosity.
And the prohibition of anything else that causes enmity and hatred and animosity and whatever that those things result in. Now, another point.
The encouragement of brotherhood.
In this hadith is encouragement of brotherhood. Yani the Prophet ordered us to be brothers to one another. O ibadullah. Now, another? That's right.
Prohibition to transgression on your brother's rights.
Okay, prohibition of transgressing on brother's rights, and before that, connected to brotherhood, he said that, yani, from that which is now, fadl.
Necessity of loving each other.
From the necessity of loving one another, and the brotherhood should result. What is required from brotherhood is what? That a person tries to give benefit to the brother and protect them from harm. Now, another point.
Down upon your brother.
And the clarification of the danger, of the severity of looking down upon your brother, having contempt for your brother. Now, and related to taqwa, he mentioned 3 points. Mizan al-tafadl, now.
It's in the heart.
Now, the taqwa is in the heart. Its place is in the heart. Also,
the scale of excellence.
The scale of excellence. Yani the scale that determines the excellence or superiority of one over another is based on a taqwa. And finally he said concerning that?
It's supported by actions.
That it's supported by actions, and he said?
Taqwa is in the heart and it's manifested by the
which we mentioned already, that the taqwa, which is in the heart, it is manifest in, yani its effects on the limbs, and the correctness or the, yani the wholesomeness of the heart is what yani leads to the wholesomeness of the rest of the body. And the last point that the Shaykh made, I think maybe somebody already mentioned it, the prohibition of transgressing against a Muslim in reference to their blood and their wealth and their honor. So these are some of the things that we discussed last week. Tonight, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this hadith is, as almost every one of these hadith when we came to them, you probably feel like it is azeem, and this one especially so. It is really a tremendous hadith. It's almost as though it is many hadith in one. There are 7 statements that the Prophet ﷺ made in this hadith. Every one of them, if a person was to take any one of them, it would be extremely beneficial. If a person was to reflect, ponder, understand, and try to act upon any one of them, it would be extremely beneficial. The first 3 are related to, yani, what we should be looking to do for other Muslims. And the fourth of them is general in reference to all of those things. And the fifth of them is the road, the path to paradise. And the sixth of them is the detail of that road, yani of seeking knowledge, and the place where it should be sought. And the last of them is the reality that actions are required, along with iman. And it's not sufficient that a person has some yani lofty or some high yani lineage or background or bloodline. That's not really sufficient. Rather, a person has to have, along with iman, they have to have amal as-salih. These 7 points are, every single one of them are tremendous. Inshallah, we're going to look at what the Shaykh said. He explained some of it in a little bit of detail, more than normal. And if we have some time, also some of the commentary from Shaykh Salih Fawzan we'll try to look at. But yani, of course, time. It's always the issue of time, right? So this hadith is hadith number 36. Al-hadith al-sadisu wa thalathuna. An Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala. That Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said. And again, there are 7 statements here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. The first of them, من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة. Yani whoever relieves a mu'min, whoever gives relief to a mu'min from a hardship, a difficulty, a qurba, yani a person who's in some severe, difficult situation, the believer who's in that condition, the person who relieves them, yani from the hardships and the difficulties of this world, then Allah will relieve that person from a hardship, from the hardships that will occur on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yani a person is in severe difficulty, a mu'min, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من نفس عن مؤمن. It's very important that he used the word mu'min here. As opposed to in the third statement he mentioned, من سطر مسلما. And of course, yani, some of it is, sometimes it's general, but perhaps there's a reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Muslim in covering the faults of a Muslim as opposed to a mu'min. And he said, yani relieving the mu'min. And the mu'min is a higher level than the Muslim. In any case, it's something to look at. مَنْ نَفَسَ عَلْ مُؤْمِنِ Whoever grants relief to a believer from the difficulties, of the difficulties of this world, Allah will grant him relief from a difficulty of the difficulties on the day of resurrection. The second statement, وَمَنْ يَسَّرَ عَلَى مُعْسِرٍ يَسَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And whoever facilitates, grants ease, yani, to the person who is in debt, yani helps them to be relieved from that debt, then Allah will facilitate or grant ease to that one, to that person, both in this world and in the next life. Yani the reward for facilitating the person who's in debt, helping them to get out of debt, Allah will facilitate your affair, will grant ease to you in this world, and more importantly in the next life. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا And whoever covers a Muslim, yani from his faults, from his sins, from his shortcomings, سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ Then Allah will cover that one, will cover you, yani both in this world, and more importantly in the hereafter. وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدِ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِهِ And Allah will be helping, will be there to support and help and aid the abd, the worshipper, to whatever extent, as much as, in the same measure as the abd helps his brother. In the same way, to the same extent, just as much as the abd helps his brother. And this one, helping the believer, helping the Muslim, helping the mu'min. And he includes what came before it. Whether they're under some kind of severe difficulty, whether they're in debt, whether they are, yani, committing some sin and you cover them. All of this is included in helping another person, yani, and it is a means of receiving Allah's help. And whoever needs the help of Allah, and every one of us does, whoever realizes that they need the help of Allah, then help another Muslim. The fifth statement, وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَحَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ That whoever travels a path, seeking in that path knowledge, then Allah will make easy for him, Allah will facilitate for him a path that leads to paradise. And this is the path to paradise. It is in seeking knowledge. It is in seeking knowledge. Yani, knowledge of the deen, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah has legislated. So all of the things above are means or ways of earning the pleasure of Allah and the reward of Allah and the help of Allah and the ease from Allah and the covering of one's faults in this world and the next life. And this is the main way, the main path for a person to Jannah. All of those are means to Jannah. And this is the main path to Jannah. It is based upon knowledge. No one can earn the pleasure of Allah unless they have knowledge of what is pleasing to Allah and what is displeasing to Allah. How to please Allah and how to avoid displeasing Allah to the end of it. After this, the sixth statement, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَمَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمَ السَّكِينَةِ وغشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. يعني that there is no group of people who gather together in a house from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني in a masjid from the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting the book of Allah and studying it amongst themselves. No group of people do this. يعني gather together in a masjid, reciting the book of Allah and studying it amongst themselves, except that as-sakina, tranquility will descend upon them, and ar-rahma, mercy, will cover them, and the angels will surround them, and Allah will mention them amongst those who are with Him, who are in His presence, yani the malaika. And finally, the seventh statement, the Prophet ﷺ said, this very important reality that we have covered again and again and again, and that is the importance of doing righteous deeds. It's not enough just to claim, but rather iman has to be manifested in a person's actions. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَمَنْ بَقْطَعَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ رَهُ مُسْلِمْ بِهَذَا اللَّهُ. And whoever is slowed down by his actions, he will not be hastened ahead, yani to Jannah, by his nasab, by his lineage, because his father and his grandfather and his ancestors were of noble lineage. That's not going to help if a person doesn't have iman and righteous deeds. Whoever is slowed down by his deeds. And the scholars explained it with different expressions that basically mean the same thing. Yani that a person's deeds, whether it's evil deeds that cause them to be held back from entering paradise, or it's the absence of doing good deeds because they engaged in something else that slows them down and stops them or delays them from the entering to paradise. If their deeds are like that, then their nasab, their lineage, would not help them at all. The Shaykh, we're reading from page 121 in this particular printing. The pages are slightly different in some of the other printings. But in any case, hadith number 36 from the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahullah, of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi and the extra added hadith of Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahumullah. The first point, and the Shaykh divides this explanation, as he always does, into points. The first point, or the first seven points, are an explanation of the seven statements in this hadith. And the eighth point is the benefits, are the benefits that he derives from this hadith. So the first point is the first statement from the hadith. Yani whoever relieves a mu'min from one of the hardships of this world, hardships in this dunya, then Allah will relieve that person from a hardship on the day of Qiyamah, day of resurrection. The Shaykh, he says, Al-Qurba, here Al-Shidda wa-Dhiq, yani the hardship that a person may be subject to, and you want to relieve them from it, he said it means Al-Shidda, that a person is in severe difficulty, or Dhiq, yani tightness, yani they're in a tight situation, a difficult situation. Wa-Tanfisuha is the meaning of nafasa al-mu'min kurba, it means izalatuha, removing it, removing that person's difficult situation, removing them from, taking them out of that situation. Wal jaza' ala tanfis kurbatin fi dunya an yunaffas anhu kurbatun min kurb yawm al-qiyamah. So the reward, the jaza' from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting relief to a believer from the difficulties of this world is that Allah will grant relief to that person at the time when they are subject to a difficulty on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Resurrection. Then the Shaykh says, the principle, the qaida, al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, that the reward for a deed is like the deed itself. It's of the same type as the deed itself. Meaning that the person who grants relief to someone from the hardships of this world, then the reward will be that Allah will grant relief to them. Yani the reward will be like the deed that one has done. And there is no doubt, the Shaykh says, وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ الْجَزَاءَ فِيهِ أَعْظَمْ. And there is no doubt that the reward in the Yawm al-Qiyamah, the reward that the person will get, the relief that they will get, that reward is far greater than the relief that they gave to somebody from a hardship in this world. And that is due to لِشِدَّةِ قُرْبِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَعِذَمْ الْفَاعِدَ لِلْمَقْرُوبِ فِي تَنْفِيسِهَا. And the reason why this reward is so great, so much far greater than the action that they have done to help somebody else in this world, is due to the severity of the hardships on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The severity of those hardships, far more severe than hardships in this world, and also due to the greatness of the benefit for the person who is being subjected to that hardship, the greatness of the benefit of being relieved from it. And if the person who's in a more severe difficulty, then being relieved from it is greater. So the Shaykh says, there's no doubt that the reward that a person will receive in the next life for relieving somebody from difficulty in this world will be far greater than the action that they have done, even though al-jaza' min jins al-amal, and the reward is like the deed, but far greater. Far greater. That which you will receive in the next life is far greater than whatever you have done for anyone in this world. The second point the Shaykh says, and this is the second statement of the hadith, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man yasra ala mu'sirin yasra Allah alayhi fi dunya wal akhirah, that whoever yani grants relief to a person who is in debt and unable to pay their debt. The mu'sir yani is a person who's in debt, he's in difficulty, he's unable to pay his debt. Whoever grants ease or facilitates that person getting out of that debt, then Allah will grant ease to you yani in this world and in the next life. وَهَذَا عَيْبًا الْجَزَافِهِ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. And the same thing is applicable here, that the reward for this, yani facilitating a person getting out of their debt in this world, the reward in the next life will be similar to it. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will yani make it easy for a person to get out of the hardship or difficulty that they are in. And here the Shaykh explains what is the amal that a person does and what is the jaza, the reward that they will receive. He said, al-amal huwa taysir al-mu'asir, yani the deed that a person does is that he facilitates, he makes it easy for a person to get out of the debt that they are in, and that is, he said, by helping them to yani remove that difficulty, to remove that difficulty, that debt that they are in. So if the person that's in debt is in debt to somebody else, then you help them by giving them that which they need to pay off their debt. Giving them that which they need to pay off their debt. And if that person was in debt to you, you are the person that they owe the money to, then you help them by delaying the payment until they are able, without adding anything to it, like interest. Without just giving them more time, without interest. Or by cancelling the debt outright. And cancelling the debt outright, the Shaykh says, is better than giving them time until they are able to pay it. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 280th Ayat, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَذِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. Yani if a person is yani a person who has difficulty, yani they're in debt and they're not able to pay it, then give them some time until they find ease, until they are able to pay it. وَأَن تَصَدَّقُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And that you, إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And if you yani were to give it as charity, yani cancel the debt against them, then this is better for you if you only knew. Here the Shaykh closes this point by saying that the Prophet ﷺ has made clear that the jaza, the reward for granting somebody ease, the person who is in debt, facilitating the removal of that debt, yani the reward is that the person who does so will also have ease. Yani some ease will will occur for them in this world as well as in the next life. The third point, the third statement and the third point of the Shaykh's explanation, he said the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَ وَالْآخِرَةِ, yani whoever covers a Muslim, yani their faults, their shortcomings, then Allah will cover that person in this world and in the next life. Then Allah will cover that person in this world as well as in the next life. The Shaykh says, this, the deed that a person does here that's is being talked about is covering a person in this world, while the reward, the jazah for doing so, is that a person will be covered in this world and in the next life. And a person does a deed in this world, and the reward will come to them in this world, and will also come to them in the next life. Whoever covers a Muslim's faults in this world, Allah will cover them in this world as well as in the next life. And he said covering, it means ikhfa, yani to hide their faults, hide their aib, yani their defects or their shortcomings. And it also means not exposing them. Hiding it, yani that's an action, that you actually make an effort to hide it, and not exposing them is not an action. I mean, it's not doing something, yani. It's the opposite of an evil thing, that the people know something wrong with a person, their defect or their shortcoming, they go out of their way to show it, to expose it. They go out of their way to expose it. He said here, covering them means hiding it. Yani if you can actually hide it so that other people will not see it, and definitely not exposing it. So now the Shaykh, he says, and this is very important here in the explanation of this part of the hadith, that this hiding the fault of a Muslim is not absolute. Yani that you should just hide every person's faults. Rather, he said, if a person was known for istiqamah, for being upright, for being righteous, for being a person who is living a life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there occurred from them a ma'asiyah, a sin. Yani that person is known for righteousness, uprightness, but we're human beings, and the person fell into a sin, then he said they should be advised about their behavior, and it should be given good advice, and then they should also be covered. They should be covered. And whoever, on the other hand, was known for al-fasad and ijram, any person known for corruption and sin and disobedience and crimes, then covering that person perhaps would make their crime seem insignificant to them. And therefore they would continue in that behavior. Rather, they may even go further and get worse. Covering that person, he said, will make the situation worse. It will make them think little of what they did. It will make them continue in their behavior, and it may make them even go further into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sin and corruption. So the maslaha, the real benefit for this, the likes of this person, is not covering them. The benefit, the maslaha here, for the person who is known for sin and corruption, is not covering them. And this is so that they may receive the uquba, the punishment, which will stop them and prevent them from going back to their crimes and their transgression. Yani the benefit is what? Is in not covering them, so that they will be punished. And that punishment perhaps will prevent them from going back to that behavior, from the sins and transgression that they were engaged in. Just briefly, Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he says concerning this particular statement in the hadith, he said this is the opposite of ghiba and namima. I'm sorry, covering the Muslim. I'm sorry, the second one. Yeah. Naam, covering the Muslim. Naam. He says that this is the opposite of ghiba and namima, yani backbiting a person and tail bearing, carrying tails against people. Yani, which has been mentioned as being prohibited in the previous hadith. So if a person saw his brother that he has some defect in his deen, and he's engaging in some behavior, that's unbecoming of a Muslim. That's in disobedience to Allah. Then he should hasten to advise that person privately. Advise that person privately. Perhaps the person might be ignorant, might not know that this behavior is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or perhaps they have been overcome by their nafs, yani the weakness of the human being, to know something is wrong but still fall into it. Or perhaps they have been overcome by shaitan. So that person should be advised privately between you and that person, not in public. He said, so you should advise that person and you should make clear to them, yani the wrongness of their behavior, but in private, sirran. You should cover them and you should not expose them in public gatherings of the people. The fourth statement from this hadith, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhullah, he says, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ, that Allah will be helping a worshipper of His. He will be helping that person in the same way, or in the same amount, or just as much as that person helps his brother, or her sister, or a Muslim helping another Muslim. Allah will be helping that person. The more you help the Muslim, the more Allah will help you. This, he said, contains an encouragement to for a Muslim to help their Muslim brother or sister. وَأَنَّهُ كُلَّمَا حَصَلَ مِنْهُ الْعَوْنُ لِإِخْوَانِهِ فَإِنَّهُ يُحَصِّلْ بِذَلِكَ عَوْنُ اللَّهِ وَالتَّسْدِيدَ. He said, so as much as a person, or there occurs from a person helping their brothers, the other Muslims, then due to that, that person will also obtain or achieve help from Allah, and yani Allah making them to be successful in doing the good that they are trying to do, that they will achieve yani success in doing what they are trying to do. The more there occurs a person helping the other Muslims, the more yani due to that, the more help they will receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and success in being correct in what they are doing. The Shaykh said that وَهِيَ كَلِمَةٌ جَامِعَةٌ مِنْ جُوَامِ كَلِمْ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that this statement is from the comprehensive, the concise, comprehensive statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the speech that in a few words, yani, contains a great meaning, a lot of meaning. And so here, I just want to stop here again on this particular point because of the importance of it. Brief comment from Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he says that this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah will be helping a person as much as they help their brother, he said this is general. Yani meaning, it's general meaning including the things from before. In whatever way you help a brother, whether that person is in debt, they're in difficulty, they are committing some sin and covering them, he said this is general. So if you saw your brother, if you helped your brother in any type of way, helping him in any kind of way, where he is in need of help, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. Allah will support you. Allah will aid you. And that's because the reward will be like the deed itself. You help somebody from the Muslims, Allah will help you. So, the Shaykh says, فَإِذَا كُنْتَ تُرِيدُ أَن يُعِينَكَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّكَ تُعِينَ إِخْوَانَكَ بِمَا تَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَالِ أَوْ جَاءَ أَوْ غَيْرُ ذَلِكَ. This particular point is of tremendous benefit if we are not studying these hadith just from the academic perspective, but we actually want to apply them in our lives. The Shaykh says, if you want Allah to help you, then you must help your brothers to whatever extent you are able to, according to your ability, whether it's with your wealth, whether it's with your status or your position, or other than that. Whoever wants the help of Allah, then one of the ways to achieve, to attain, to guarantee Allah's help is to help others. The fifth point and the fifth statement from this hadith, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له به طريقا إلى الجنة. And whoever travels a path seeking knowledge in that path, Allah will make easy for him. Allah will facilitate for him due to him traveling a path seeking knowledge. Allah will make easy for him due to that a path to the Jannah. In this statement, there's an encouragement for seeking Sharia knowledge, religious knowledge. In this statement is an encouragement for a person to seek religious knowledge. And it's also an encouragement for traveling the paths, the ways, the roads that lead to achieving that knowledge. Yani taking any means that a person can find that helps a person to achieve that knowledge. So there's encouragement in this statement to seek the religious knowledge, and also there's encouragement to travel the paths or the roads that lead to a person earning that knowledge. No matter whether it is bisafar litalabihi, that a person travels seeking knowledge, and he gets on a bus or a train or a car or whatever means of transportation, going to another place, to another part of the city or to another city or state or another country to seek knowledge. Yani traveling a path might be by actually literally getting on the road and traveling. Or it might be by utilizing the means. بِالْأَخْذِ بِالْأَسْبَابِ بِالْأَخْذِ بِأَسْبَابِ تَحْسِيلِ. Or it might be by utilizing the means through which a person achieves knowledge. Maybe without traveling. And that is by acquiring beneficial books and reading them and benefiting from them. And note the Shaykh says, acquiring beneficial books and reading them. Not just putting them on shelves, but reading them and benefiting from them. Reading them in a way to benefit from them. Meaning, reading them in a way that you understand what you're reading and you know how to apply it and then you act upon it. He said, whether it is by utilizing the means through which a person achieves knowledge, like acquiring beneficial books and reading them and benefiting from them, or by sticking to the scholars. Yani, going and sitting with the scholars and spending time with the people of knowledge and taking knowledge from them or other than that. Yani, here the Shaykh is saying what? That traveling a path, seeking knowledge in it, it may be by actually literally traveling, or it might be by utilizing the means of achieving knowledge, and that is by acquiring beneficial books and reading them and benefiting from them, or sitting with the scholars and benefiting from them, or other than that. So what is the reward for the person who does so? The reward for doing so is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reward for doing so from Allah is that He will make easy a person's path, which will lead the student of knowledge to Jannah. Yani Allah will facilitate a path which, due to which a person will arrive. Yani which a student of knowledge, a person seeking knowledge, will reach the paradise. Allah will make that path easy for that person. This would be, the Shaykh says, by either helping, Allah would help that person to achieve what they intended. And if they intended, they traveled a path to seek knowledge, Allah would help them to achieve what they intended, to get knowledge. And in this way, by Allah's help, yani they will actually acquire knowledge. The other way, it might be that Allah will help them, or not the other way, but Allah will also help them, also He will help them to act upon what they have learned from the yani ahkam al-shar'iyya, yani the legislations, the Islamic legislations. And this will lead a person to, or will cause a person to enter the paradise. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate the path to paradise for that person, means He will help them to do that which they intended, to acquire knowledge, and He will also help them to act upon that knowledge which they have acquired. And this is reminds us of the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that no person will go on, yani from the place of standing into the paradise or to the hellfire, until they ask four or five questions. And from them he said, مَاذَا عَمِلَ فِي مَا عَلِمَ. What did you do with that which you knew? Yani how did you act upon the knowledge that you acquired? We will be questioned about the knowledge that was acquired. Did we act upon it? And this is a very, very important. And it's a matter that we need to take seriously. That it's important to seek knowledge, but it's equally important to act upon it, because we will be questioned about that knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person is sincere in seeking knowledge, Allah will facilitate them acquiring that knowledge, and He will also facilitate for them any acting upon it. Just briefly, Sheikh Salih Fawzan says concerning this point, and he has a lengthy explanation. I couldn't read it all, but in any case, he says, whoever travels the path seeking knowledge in it, he said it means religious knowledge, knowledge of the deen. He said, as far as seeking knowledge, worldly knowledge, because this hadith is talking about religious knowledge, as far as the person seeking worldly knowledge, this is mubah, it's permissible. But traveling the path for seeking religious knowledge is what Allah has legislated. Yani, seeking worldly knowledge is permissible, but what Allah has legislated in the deen is that a person seeks knowledge of the deen. And this knowledge that Allah has legislated, it might be obligatory to seek it, or it might be mustahab. And then he says that traveling the path seeking knowledge includes the path, the physical path, anywhere a person travels, gets on the road to seek knowledge, and it also includes the abstract path, that is, that a person reads and memorizes and seeks to understand the textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. And he said all of this is traveling a path seeking knowledge, and this also includes buying books that are beneficial and reading them and reflecting upon them and studying them with the scholars. All of this is included in traveling a path seeking knowledge now. And then he goes on to the second part of the hadith, that Allah will make easy for him a path to paradise. And for the sake of the time, we'll have to pass that part. But in any case, the sixth point and the sixth statement of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam statement, وَمَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمَ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَحَفَّتْهُمْ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِيمَنْ عِنْدَهُ. Yani, that if any people gather together in any one of the buyut of Allah, in the masajid, reciting the book of Allah and studying it amongst themselves, then a sakina, tranquility, will descend upon them. And the rahmah, the mercy of Allah, will cover them, and the angels will surround them, and Allah will mention them to those who are with Him. Here the Shaykh says, Buyutullah hiya al-masajid. Yani the houses of Allah, it means the masjids. And this ascription, ascribing the buyut to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is an ascription of honor, showing that these places are places of honor. That the masjid, saying that they are the buyut of Allah, the base of Allah, it means this is the way of honoring, showing honor and high status for the masjids. And the masjids are the most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. That the most beloved places in the earth to Allah are the masjids. وَأَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. And the most hated places in the earth to Allah are the marketplaces. This hadith reported by Imam Muslim, hadith number 671. In this hadith there is an encouragement of al-ijtima' fil masajid, of gathering together in the masjids, for the purpose of tilawatul Qur'an wa tadarusuhi. Yani for the purpose, gathering together in the masjids, for the purpose of reciting the Qur'an and studying it, studying its sciences. And this will occur by either one of the people who are gathered together reading and the rest of them listening. Or they might read in turns to one another, each one taking a turn reading, in order for them to correct one another, so that they may be corrected in their reading. And also so that they may benefit, from reciting to one another and correcting one another. Yani each one of them may benefit from another, that which will help him to improve his reading, yani proper reading of the Quran, and he will catch or come to know the mistakes that he has in his reading, if there are any. And if there is anyone amongst them who is a scholar of tafsir, then he will teach them, yani the tafsir of it as well. And if they are themselves ahlul ilm, yani perhaps they are all students of knowledge, who know something about this tafsir, then they will study its meanings amongst themselves, sharing what they know, and for this they have to go back to the books of tafsir, al-riwaya wa al-diraya, yani the asaneed and the meanings that are based upon what the salaf of this ummah were upon. Meaning that not only they are studying the proper way to recite the Quran and helping one another to correct their reading, but they may also study, if there is a knowledgeable person amongst them, they may study the tafsir of the Quran, or if they themselves are knowledgeable people, then they may benefit one another by explaining and sharing with one another the meanings of the Quran by going back to the books of tafsir that are based upon what the salaf of this ummah were upon, yani the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and those who followed them and followed in their way. Here the Shaykh says, al-jaza' ala al-ijtima' fi al-masajid li tilawat al-Quran wa tadarusihi arba'atu umur. Yani the reward for gathering together in the masjids to recite the Quran and to study it are four matters. The first of them is as-sakina, yani tranquility descending upon those people, that they will yani enjoy the tranquility, the peace and the calmness of being yani of reciting and studying the Quran in the masjid. And this means that this same yani sakina doesn't descend on the people who are in other than the masjid, whether they are in someone's home or in some other place, in a school or any place that's lawful to learn in, but it's not the same. This is for, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, the masajid. So that the person who is at home, listening on the radio or on the whatever, I don't know what they call it, on the internet, then yani, the sakina descends upon the people who are studying the Quran in the masajid. And likewise, the mercy of Allah will cover them. It means that it will envelop them. And the angels will surround them, will encompass them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention them amongst the angels. So, and Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, he has a lengthy discussion concerning this. Alhamdulillah, this explanation of Shaykh Saleh Fawzan is translated. So, yani, somebody needs to go back to this and get some of this benefit. Yani, from amongst the things that he said is that this reciting the Book of Allah and studying it is by reading and by seeking to understand and by acting upon it. Yani, acting upon the Quran is what is required, is what is desired. However, memorizing it and tajweed and understanding its meanings and its correct tafsir, these are wasail, these are means to a person achieving the real goal, which is acting upon the Quran. Also, from the benefits that the Shaykh mentioned in his lengthy discussion concerning this, he said that this hadith is in reference to a person seeking knowledge, and it should be in the masjids, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the places of the angels. And this is where the sakina and the rahmah descends upon the people. And therefore, it is incumbent upon the students of knowledge to attend the masjids. And not that going to camps and places, yani, I don't know, what do you call it, istirahat? Any, what can we call that in English? And the places where the people go outside of the city and they have some food and stuff and maybe they might have a dar stay or something. He said, not that this is not permissible, but this is not what is intended here. He said, even if a person were to study in other places and they may get some benefit, لكن المساجد أفضل, and that, but doing so in the masjid is better. This is what is intended in this hadith, and Allah knows best. The last point of this hadith, the Shaykh mentions, is the seventh statement, and the seventh point, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, من بطع به عمله لَمْ يُسْرِ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ, that whoever is slowed down by his actions, then he will not be hastened forward, يعني into paradise, by his lineage. The meaning is, مَنْ أَخَّرَهُ عَمَلُهُ عَنْ دُخُولَ الْجَنَّةِ, يعني whoever is delayed, who is slowed down, kept back from entering, يعني by his deeds is kept back from entering the paradise. Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, أَخَّرَهُ عَمَلُهُ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ, that his deeds delayed him, prevented him from doing good, and therefore he's delayed from entering paradise. Sheikh Uthaymeen said, من تأخر من أجل عمله السيء, يعني that he was delayed or held back due to his evil deeds, then his lineage will not help him, it will not raise him up, it will not send him forward. And lineage, it means your ascription to a tribe or something like this. The Sheikh says, and this is because the person who's delayed by his actions would not be hastened forward by his lineage. He said this is because what counts, what really matters, is al-Iman and al-Taqwa. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat 49:13, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ, the most honored of you in front of Allah are those who have the most taqwa. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says in his explanation of the 50 hadith, the meaning of this is that the deed that will cause the abd to reach the high levels in the next life, yani in paradise, yani it is deeds that will do so. It's not just a person's lineage. And this is as Allah says in Surah 2, Ahqaf 46 Surah 19th Ayat, وَلِكُلِّن دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا, that every person will have a degree or a level or a station based upon what they have done by their deeds. So whoever is slowed down, delayed, held back by his actions, yani from reaching the high levels or high stations with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life, then he will not be hastened forward by his lineage. It will not be able to help him to reach these high levels. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has based the reward upon al-amal, upon deeds, not upon one's yani lineage. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah Al-Mu'minun, 23rd Surah, 101st Ayah, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ, that when the horn is blown, then yani a person's lineage will not help them on that day, and nor will they be asking about one another, yani about one another's condition. People will be too concerned about themselves. And this meaning is contained in the saying of one of the people of the past, لَعُمْرَكَ مَا الْإِنسَانُ إِلَّا بِدِينِهِ فَلَا تَطْرُكْ التَّقْوَى اتِّكَالًا عَلَى نَسَبِي لَقَدْ رَفَعَ الْإِسْلَامُ سَلْمَانَ فَارِسٍ وَقَدْ وَضَعَ الشِّرْكُ النَّسِيبَ أَبَا لَحَبٍ, yani that certainly, for sure, a person is no more than what the level of his deen. So therefore don't abandon التَّقْوَى, relying upon your lineage. Indeed, Islam has raised up Salman Farisi radiallahu anhu, and Shirk has put down the one who had the high lineage, that is Abu Lahab. The Sheikh mentions 9 benefits from this hadith, and I know, and he pardoned me for a little bit over time today, we're going to just read the Sheikh's benefits and skip the other benefits, 9 of them. He says, this is point number 8, in this hadith is an encouragement to relieve a person from a hardship of this world, and in doing so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve from you one of the difficulties on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The second benefit is that the reward for doing a deed would be like that deed itself. Yani the deed here is relieving somebody from a difficulty in this world, and the reward is being relieved of a difficulty on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The third point is encouragement to facilitate a person who is in debt to paying their debt, and the reward is that ease would be given to you in this world and in the next life. And the fourth point is at-targhib, encouragement to cover the faults of another Muslim, yani when there's a maslaha and benefit in doing so, yani meaning the person who is known for righteousness but they fell into a sin, not the person who is known for sin and corruption, there's no benefit in covering their faults, and the reward for covering the faults of the Muslim would be covering your faults in this life and in the next life. The fifth point, the Shaykh says in this hadith, is an encouragement for the Muslim to help their Muslim brother, and that as much as a person helps their Muslim brother, that they will receive help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in achieving their goal. Number six is clarification of the excellence of seeking religious knowledge. Yani, you're traveling a path seeking religious knowledge. The seventh point is the excellence of gathering together in the masajid for the purpose of reciting the Quran and studying its knowledge, its sciences. And the eighth point is that al-iman al-amal as-salih, iman and righteous deeds, is the cause of a person entering the paradise and they're reaching the high levels with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his paradise. And the last point is that the honor of a person's nasab, of their lineage, without righteous deeds, will not benefit that person in front of Allah at all. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any corrections, we'll take it. If not, any questions or comments, inshallah, after the salat. Question or comment?
Correction.
Go ahead, fadl.
Did the Sheikh mention 9 or 10 benefits?
He mentioned 9.
On the paper it says 10.
That's a typing mistake. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah fik. 9. The Sheikh mentioned 9 benefits. Actually, we intended to mention the benefits of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin. He also mentioned about 10 or 12 benefits, but no time. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allah khair. After the salat, inshallah, if there's any other questions, we can take them at that time.